Hello, and welcome to PMC Live. Every first Thursday of the month, KFSK talks with folks at the Petersburg Medical Center. I'm Shelby Herbert, and today I'm joined by a whole host of folks. Phil Hofstetter, CEO of Petersburg PMC. Welcome, Phil, as always. And let me turn your mic on. Sorry, but always forget to do that.
There we go. Testing. Hello.
You sound great. Thanks. Awesome. I'm also joined by Kirsten Testoni, who is PMC's home health manager. Welcome, Kirsten.
Hi, thank you.
And then I've got two new folks. I've got Laura Holder, who is a nurse for home health with the adult daycare facility. And I'm also joined by Alice Neidefer, who is a long-term care facilities coordinator. Welcome to you two as well.
Thank you.
Awesome. So over to you, Phil. We've had a very big week, it sounds like, over at PMC. You all just passed your 2024 fiscal year budget.
Yep.
How'd that go?
Good. I mean, obviously last year was super tough. We had to do a number of, areas to rein in, and we also had to focus on getting grants to support some of our programs. Actually, the home health, is sort of the shining star as far as trying to get grant programs and really thinking out of the box on collaborating with different entities in town to provide services. And as a result, we're able to get some support, financial support related to those things, such as the school nurse program, which is Laura's here probably to speak a little bit about that and some of the other areas that Kirsten's doing with Adult Day. Additionally, we have had a wellness program, home-based program, our behavioral health program, primary care. We applied for a number of different grants related to that. So the budget really was wrapped into a couple of different things. Is really managing expense, which is always tough. It's such a tough environment right now, probably in the most the hardest that I've ever seen it in healthcare. Normally, the strategy is typically about trying to getting additional revenue streams, typically through grants or improving your efficiencies on the revenue cycle and things like that. But really, the way the healthcare is, you have to manage your expense now. I mean, you always have to manage your expense, but typically as a strategy for growth, that's something you've been able to offset with revenue sources. And that's one thing that's been different. It's been very, very hard. It's been hard on staff. I can't do anything without staff, and I just feel so fortunate to have such wonderful staff that work here. Petersburg's very fortunate to have a lot of local hires. We have very little contractors. And they do a lot. We wear like 14 different hats. I used to say three, but now it's expanded into 10 and 12. And I'm being a little exaggerated, but at the same time, it's very, very hard. So the budget was tough. I mean, I'm glad we were able to actually move forward on it. I'll be lucky if it's cost neutral. We filed for exceptional relief with the state to make sure to try to offset some of those so we can actually pay our staff better than the year previous. Cost of living increases are routine, and those are just things that we couldn't possibly do at this time, and we're just waiting a little bit from the state on that. So on the one hand, it's good. We passed the budget. We had a year end. We did, with what we were dealt, we did really well. I felt like we recovered well. We were running probably 10 to 15% losses last November, December, January, had to hit some of our reserves, keep people employed, which is the number one goal. We don't want to reduce services or anything like that. And then coming around and getting back to a cost neutral and then building some reserve back up. And so we're not quite out of the woods yet, but we're working on it. And I'm a lot more optimistic this year related to that. And we've been getting some of the grants coming through because of the awesome work with our staff. It's just really, really cool. So
certainly. Thank you so much, Phil. So one thing you said a few beats ago, there are this sounds like a challenging budget to put together, and there are what are some of the outside or inside sources of stress? I mean, what are what's going on in the world or statewide or in the in the
This is, it was no surprise. I've been saying it quite a bit. This is really related to COVID pandemic results. Our workforce, there's many different factors related to that. It's not just COVID itself. It's what COVID did to the workforce. And the workforce itself, you know, it's hard to find employees. It's hard to find local workforce during the pandemic. The market changed, so to get staffing, you had to pay three, four times the amount. And then on the other side, the payers, the insurance companies, didn't increase their rates. So all of a sudden, you're paying 20, 25%, 30% more of your expense, but then the Medicare, Medicaid, they increased their amounts. And those are very dire consequences for small facilities, rural facilities in particular, and across the nation, it's something that we're seeing in all facilities. It's well documented now, but it's all related to post-COVID results in healthcare. Very challenging to get in workforce in general. Lots of retiring. Individuals have been around. We've seen that here as well, and then rebuilding as we go forward. And so we're going to focus hard on our prevention programs, our outreach programs, our community engagement programs, and building local workforce along the way. So that's really the strategy for this next year.
Certainly. Thank you so much, Phil. I just want to pause for a second and remind those listening that this is also a call-in show. You can call 907-772-3808 if you have any questions for our guests. This is a hard pivot, but it sounds like the board is considering holding future meetings at the Assembly Chamber instead of the hospital. Could you tell me a little bit about why they're considering that decision?
Yeah, it's great. I think it's a positive, we've thought about this a couple of times. It's been circulated a few times since I've been here. We've talked about it at a board level, but really it's a reaction to comments from the community. And I feel like I'm always proud of that in a lot of ways. I feel like it's important for us as a facility to listen and to take comments and, you know, try to take that input and have action. I'm always about action. And one of these things is a pretty easy move from that standpoint. The borough has been very open about allowing us to use their chambers. It has the setup for KFSK if KFSK decided they wanted to go there. And they also have a software system that makes it a little bit easier to take our agenda and minutes and post it on the website. So those are really positive things. We heard those comments from community members, and it was an action item. And you know, with the Zoom, you know, in the past, it's been a little bit of a challenge for staffing to do their duties and then come down to the board meetings. It's just a little easier. But with Zoom, where it's virtual, that's really not much of an issue, and it's really not that far too. So we're able to take that in and move forward. So we're excited about that.
Sounds good. Thank you, Phil.
You bet.
Let me see here. So any facilities updates on the new hospital?
Nothing. We're still waiting on the Department of Treasury funding. That's the big item. We've spent the last couple of weeks on the environmental study is wrapping up and should be available online and publicly. We are we are trying to get a contract amendment and present it to the Assembly because the board approved to move to the next step for the site. And as we know from the Assembly recommendation previously, any phase change, we're going to go to the Assembly to get an approval. And so we're ready to do that as well. But we're still waiting on the Treasury funding. So those are kind of things of still in the queue.
Certainly. Thank you so much. This is a question for you, Phil, but I'm also going to open it up to the room a little bit. So we had a very big weekend in town, I heard, the pedal paddle battle. And it looked like there was a great turnout. I mean, I'm not sure if any of you, Kirsten, Alice, or Lauren, if you were participating, but, tell me about the pedal paddle paddle. How'd it go?
Last couple of years have been very strong. We added, Julie Walker, our wellness group. I'm going to forget, people's names that really helped with organizing that event. Really need to take the credit for that for sure. And our foundation board, foundation members, PMC Foundation, raised over 16 or 17,000, I believe. We're still kind of getting the final number on that, which is really a big year. It's last year. It's very similar to last year. Adding the biking has increased the turnout, which is fantastic. We had 30 paddlers. Fantastic weather. And then 50 bikers, roughly. And so it's 80 people participating. And then we had decent prizes. And it's great. It's a great fundraising event. It's really growing. And the foundation, came from one of our physical therapy staff, Caitlin. She's the manager. And she started a number of years ago. And it's just kind of built off of that. So it's a great event.
That's great. Did you get to wear a costume this time?
No.
Maybe next year.
I'm willing to do whatever it takes. This year, I was just enjoying the weather and having kayaking, and then my family did the biking, so it was nice.
That's wonderful. Yeah. That's great. Well, I'm going to turn over to you, Kirsten. It sounds like there's a lot going on at Home Health. I'll also loop Lauren into this. Any updates on that care facility?
Sure. So actually, we are in the process of getting ready to open our adult day program. And we're really excited about it. It's going to be a great opportunity for folks in the community. We did actually just get a survey back. And in the survey, they asked if we were going to be just offering the service to elderly or people with disabilities. And I'm happy to say that we didn't get the whole grant, but we did get a small portion of the Senior In-Home Services Disability Grant, which will allow us to possibly take folks younger than 60. But we're still ironing out those details, so I wanted to clarify that. If you want to know more about the program, we have an open house today from 3 to 6 over at Petersburg Indian Association, upstairs in their boardroom. And then we also have another one on August 9th from 11 to 2 at the library. And it's a great opportunity to come and meet some staff, ask questions, take our survey. It's not really a survey. It's more of a questionnaire. And the real reason for that questionnaire is we want to know what you want to see in our program, but also what you don't want to see in the program. Our goal is to make it very individualized. It's going to be a very homey environment. It's going to not feel like a clinical space. It's going to feel like a comfortable space. Very much like a senior center. So there's a lot going on with that. I'm very excited to say, I can say this now, I got permission to say this now, we are starting the program up at Mountain View Manor in the non-assisted side in the dining room, and that's just a temporary space. Our permanent space will be over in the PIA building once the renovations have happened. And we're really fortunate to have partnered with PIA and to become a part of their community as well, and to have this incredible space that will really be specific to the needs of our program. So I can't thank them enough, and I'm just really excited about the opportunity to be working with them. Laura is going to be the primary kind of our I don't want to say manager, but she's going to be overseeing the entire program. And Laura also is part-time school nurse, so she's going to be wearing a couple of hats. And she's going to give you a little bit of information and talk a little bit about how we want to roll this program out, how we'd like to get to know people. But I will say, if you have anything you want to donate, you've got arts and crafts materials, games, anything like that, or if you'd like to volunteer, or if you just have questions and you want to know more about the program and can't make it to either of our two remaining open houses, just call the Home Health office at 907-772-5716. I'm going to turn it over to Laura.
All right. Take it away, Laura.
Yeah, thanks. So like Kirsten said, we are really excited about rolling this out. Our plan right now is the week of August 14th to start doing some in-home assessments. Obviously, the program is not going to be in folks' homes, but I would love the opportunity to meet with potential participants and get to know their likes, their dislikes, and how we can best serve them. So the number that Kirsten just gave, the 772-5716, is a great number to call to set up an appointment with me. For folks that it would be easier to come into our office at Home Health, that's totally fine as well. So I'll work with folks. So throughout the rest of August, after the 14th, we'll be working on those assessments. About midway through September is our rollout date. Like Kirsten mentioned, our plan longer term is to go to PIA, but for the meantime, we're excited to be over in the unassisted side at Mountain View Manor. And it'll be sort of a soft launch in that there'll be less participants than our final goal, but we'd like to start now. Some of the things that we're excited about, we're going to be able to provide transportation for people. And these are the things that will work out when we're doing your intake assessment. But transportation, I think, is a big plus. We also will be providing food. So our first meal that we'll be giving is a breakfast meal, and hours roughly 8 to 12. So like Kirsten mentioned, any questions, please call us. I would love to chat with anyone with any ideas, with any suggestions. Please come to our open houses. Like she said, one is today at PIA, and I'd love to chat with you.
And I just really wanted to finish up by saying that this would not be possible without the support of PMC, without the support mm-hmm. of the community. Alice in particular has been a great resource for us. And so, you know, we're just really, really grateful for the support and the mm-hmm. opportunity to provide this very much needed service.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for that. That's, oh my gosh, sounds like a very ambitious project. Could either or both of you speak to the role PIA is playing in this partnership, other than providing the space to eventually house the program?
So, I think that just having that relationship with Petersburg Indian Association is so important for our community. I'm all about collaboration, and the more, and it's what prompted the school relationship, and the more that we can work together, the better we are going to be at providing support to our community members. And I can't thank them enough. They've just been incredibly generous and kind and welcoming. And I think it will be a really nice space because it'll be a neutral space for everybody. And it will feel much more like the community center, senior center that we're hoping for it to be.
Certainly. Thank you so much, Kirsten. Have you all received any community feedback yet? What are people saying they would like to see out of this program?
So I think the most important thing, and we hear this so often, is that folks are saying, we're still hearing people say, I didn't know that there were things like this available. We had a couple of people come to our last open house that really were looking for exactly what we're offering. And when they left, we were like, this is why we're doing this. People who have a loved one that might be having, progressive dementia, or just because of their mobility can't be at home safely. And this will provide caregivers an opportunity to get a break, take a bath, go to the store, go to the post office, have some coffee, without having to worry about, what their loved one is doing in the next room. But also it'll provide an opportunity for folks who don't get out a lot to have some socialization and be a part of something. And as Laura mentioned, what we really want to do is we'll have an activity schedule, but if on that day, if it's Monday and that's supposed to be, please don't quote me on this, don't set this and so on, but if it's bingo day and nobody wants to play bingo, we're going to find something else to do. If everybody right. wants to, they want to play Twister, in your chair Twister, or they want to do bowling, or they want to just sit around and have coffee, we're going to tailor this program to the needs of the person. Absolutely. And the people that are there. And that's really important. So that was important. It's also important for folks. Transportation was one. And then the other thing is, and we're still working out the details, so I don't want to say too much about how this will be funded, how you can pay for it, and what those resources will look like.
Certainly. Thank you both so much. Alice, so you are also involved in this. Am I to understand that you are...
So my role has been pretty minimal in a sense, but what I have been doing as far as helping with the adult day program has been providing a lot of materials on program coordinating, for example, event planning, providing activities calendars that we're actively using in long-term care for them to, take some ideas from. I'll be helping them figure out van driving certifications for individuals for transport. And then, of course, just continuing to help them with their volunteer outreach as I work on my own for long-term care.
Wonderful. What opportunities for volunteers do you have?
So I have ideas for volunteers, but I also am open to being creative and just seeing what the community of Petersburg has to offer as far as volunteer opportunities. Because of COVID, a lot of our volunteers that we've had in the past have kind of dwindled since. Right now we have two volunteers that come in routinely, and we are so, so grateful for them. But, you know, volunteering in the past has looked like so many different things for long-term care. It's looked like visiting with our residents who just want someone to, you know, chat with, whether it's about sports or the history of Petersburg or, you know, just catching up. Our residents love visiting. We've had people come in and do manicures before for our ladies, just come in and paint nails and spend some time relaxing. We love musical guests, having people come in and play. We've seen so many different instruments throughout long-term care, as well as a lot of vocalists. Our residents always enjoyed that. We've had different faith groups come in the past and, you know, spend some time, you know, whether it's reading scriptures or singing hymns with our residents. They always appreciate that. We love pet visitors. Having pets come in and visit with residents, it seems to be very therapeutic for everybody, both staff and residents. And then volunteer van drivers. We've had people who have been interested in driving the van in the past. You know, whether you can commit to one day a week or, you know, once a month, whatever you can, you know, do, we can work with your schedule. But yeah, just building a volunteer program again. It's been a while since we've had regular volunteers.
Absolutely. Calling all van drivers, pet owners, music makers. That is, that's wonderful. Where can people find out more about, or is this still in the early stages?
If people want to give me a call, I can help, you know, facilitate what level of volunteer. PMC does have a volunteer policy, and depending on how involved you want to be with the residents, there's different steps we need to take. So my phone number to get a hold of me is 907-772-5747. And I can chat with you more about what you might be interested in doing, as well as what steps we need to take in order to make that happen.
Fantastic, Alice. That is wonderful. So you are also part of, like, the long-term care facilities coordinator. Do you have any other updates about long-term care?
So Helen Boggs is our director of nursing for long-term care. But as far as like a long-term care update, we currently have 13 residents in our 15-bed facility. Everybody has a very unique set of preferences and needs, and our staff does an amazing job to, you know, meet each resident where they're at, whether that be their food preferences coming from the kitchen or what time they like to wake up and get to bed with each of our nursing staff. The program we have going in long-term care is very individualized, catering to each of the residents' preferences.
Certainly. Thank you so much for that update. That is about it for my questions here. Does anybody have anything to add that we didn't cover in this quick little live show?
I don't think so. Thank you. I'll enjoy hearing from all our staff. It's just so cool. Thank you. And really, the volunteer, you know, if you need something to do, you want to, it's a very rewarding experience. We rely on volunteer programs for sure. So please, if you want to see these services in our community, we're asking for some assistance in there, and that would be great. It's a wonderful experience.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Phil. And just a quick rundown here. There are two community cafes coming up for the Home Health Adult Day program. One is tonight. Kirsten, can you remind me of the time today?
It's actually 3 to 6 tonight.
3 to 6.
In the PIA building.
Excellent. And there's one more on August 9th. Is it the same time?
11 to 2 at the library. We tried to alternate times so that more people would have an opportunity to come.
That makes sense. Yeah, a lot of working folks out there. Excellent. Well, thank you all so much for joining me today. Phil, Alice, Kirsten, Lauren, really appreciate your time. And thank you at home for joining us today for PMC Live. Coming up next, Street Beat with Steve Barry.